Hello and welcome to another Video Games to the Max. And I am your host, Sean Garmer, fresh back from appendix surgery I didn't know that I needed. But hey, at least I have a reason for us having another 10-day layoff on this thing. But yeah, finally get to go back to work after a week and a half of being off. And we're here to talk about some video games. And of course, I'd like to thank Josh Welchel again for letting us use the theme song. And Mark, how are
Howdy.
you?
I'm okay.
Well, I actually got to play some games in my time off, and the one time that this getting a little bit more money because the store's closing kind of pays off. I got to play the Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, which is the first game that I really ever wanted to play with headphones on because it is an absolute experience with headphones on. Because you hear voices whispering in your head constantly that are basically talking to her, and not all of them are subtitled, so you're hearing them. And then you're also hearing her thoughts, and then when there's like another character that talks to her, you hear that at times, and like sometimes they'll just show up there and they speak to her, and then it's made by Ninja Theory, so guys that made the I can't remember what game they're famous for, but they're known for having really good combat, and so this game is not like a combat heavy game. It's more of a sort of like there's puzzles and it's a lot of walking and running, and then there is combat. But it's sort of nuanced. Like, you have your dodge and your block and your various attacks, but sometimes there'll be like two or three monsters that show up and you have to dodge them all at the same time, and you have a certain amount of times you can get hit or she dies. And there's a I don't know, I've heard from different people that they actually did game over and lose their entire thing, and then there's people that say that it's not real, it's just another way to mess with your mind. And I caught myself, like, I kept dying at a certain point, and I was like, oh my god, her arm's getting black, am I gonna lose all my saves? And it's a great way to get you to really be into it, because you never know when that moment's going to come where, oh crap, I really did game over this time and I have to start all over.
Well, you won't. So there's
Yeah.
that.
I mean, are you interested in it at all, or?
Maybe the only Ninja Theory game I actually liked was Devil May Cry. I tried Enslaved and I didn't really like it. And then no, I don't think anyone really liked Heavenly Sword. So if it like goes for cheap, I may grab it sometime. But that's about it.
Yeah, I always meant to play Heavenly Sword, I just never did. I guess it's okay that I didn't, going by what you said.
I mean, it's a co-op game, like, but
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, well, not really co-op, but just you have to like protect this person all the way through, which is it can get kind of grating for me.
Okay.
But
Yeah, and I have the Devil May Cries on my Xbox. Which
no,
one?
they
Oh,
only
the.
made DMC, like the reboot Devil May Cry, the good one.
Well, I have that, and then I think it's the collection.
Yeah, Capcom did
Yeah.
those, so that those
Yeah.
don't. Yeah.
I think 4 is the one I'm missing. So,
That's the
because
bad. That's a bad one. Trust me. I
it's
tried that,
bad.
and I was like, nope. Yeah.
Okay. Because I think. Well, because Xbox One is backwards compatible, so I think they were on like a $5 sale at
Yeah.
one point. I just got them, but still need to try them out at some point. Any and I also played Sonic Mania on the Switch, which I haven't run into any problems. It was a little difficult the first time I ever tried to go back to the home screen. I had to press it in, and then it finally worked.
Yeah.
But I tried to get Anaya to play it, and she kind of got frustrated because she'd understand that you have to go fast, and then you let his speed kind of kill the enemies and whatever else. But it's the Sonic you remember, along with the new things that they put in, like new bosses and new stuff in the level. I think I got to like the casino level, and that's as far as I'm at. But yeah, it's really fun, and it's obviously nice to be able to like take it with me anywhere and play it whenever. Yeah. It's worth the $20.
I'll hopefully get it sometime. let's see. I've been playing. I beat Pyre a few weeks ago. I forgot to mention it last time. It was fine. A really weird ending, but like, there's no happy ending, which is good. The two big things I've been playing lately are Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 and Yakuza Kiwami.
I'm guessing you got that for review because you told me you were not buying it.
Yeah. Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 rounds up Mega Man 7 through 10. I've almost beat Mega Man 7. I'm on, like, the last boss. It's just a weird... It's an expensive collection, like, because it's four games for, I think it's $20. So it's, like, $5 a game. And it's, like, yeesh. And I think
they
just should be...
PS1?
No, Mega Man 7's SNES. Mega Man 8 was on PS1, and Mega Man 9 and 10 were on, like, 360 and PS3. But they were, those were, like, the retro games.
Well, $5 for those isn't too bad.
I don't think those are... I don't particularly think Mega Man 9 or 10 are really good, so...
Ah,
okay. Like, I like it when Mega Man has a charge shot, and those get rid of it. I mean, it's still Mega Man, so it's mostly fine. Like I said, I wish they had included more in the package. Like, Mega Man and Bass would have been nice, even though it never came out officially here. Like, you could do a quick translation and put it out. Or, like, Mega Man Soccer would have been cool.
Oh, Mega Man Soccer would have been awesome.
Or, like, Battle and Chase. Or, like, even the old Mega Man the Mega Man Anniversary Collection on PS2 and Xbox had, like, the Power Fighters games. So, I mean, why not? And Yakuza Kiwami's a weird game. It's built on, like, Yakuza Zero's game engine. So I should like it, but I kind of don't, because I don't like playing as Kiryu that much. He's kind of slow. And they changed some things to, like, how the leveling works, which I don't really like. And it feels like there's been a decline in production values in that game. Which
what is
I don't...
the first game, right?
Yeah. Like... No, I mean, it's, yeah,
but
it's
the first
rebuilt
game remastered, right? I mean, like, when, and it's on, what, PS2?
No,
PS1?
Yeah, it's not a remaster, it's, a new game. It's, you know, they didn't, like, just go back, like, there are whole, like, systems in this game that are, it's not, like, an old game built up, it's completely new. It's just a reboot of Yakuza 1.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a remaster of the first game or something.
No, no, it's new. I mean, okay. It's the same story. It's, you know, the same story as Yakuza 1. But like the gameplay is from Yakuza 0.
Right, right.
Like the things I'm talking about, like you can't, there's no arcade machines in the game.
That's weird.
There's like this weird insect female wrestling game that's like almost like it's like rock paper scissors. They had that in Yakuza Zero. It was like the female wrestling thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why? Okay, if there's no arcade games in this thing, why are there arcades in the map? Like to play the crane game and that's it. Like that's all you can do in them.
Yeah, that's weird because I mean I guess I would understand why they want to have it because obviously in Japan there's a lot of arcades, so you can't just like act like there's not an arcade in Kamurocho, but
you can play games in the arcades. Like there's nothing to do in these except for, you know, play the egg catching game or, you know, the crane game. Well,
aren't they charging a lot less for it though?
I mean, yeah, it is $30. So like I guess it goes hat in hand. Like, another thing was there's no second map. Like, there's no other city to explore. Mm-hmm. So, like, stuff like that. And the game does a really poor, like, I'm glad I played Yakuza 0, because this game does a supremely poor job of, like, introducing you to game mechanics. So if I didn't have Yakuza 0 backing me up, like, I'd be pretty lost. And even there's even some things, like, I'm still lost on in this game. Like, I didn't know how to, like, select weapons. I had to, like, look on a FAQ. And I'm like, they should have explained this in the tutorial somewhere.
There's not an options or whatever that shows you the controls?
No. I mean, there is, but they don't tell you, like, press the style button twice to select your weapon. And there's, you know, a whole glossary and everything, but they still don't explain that.
Weird.
I mean, it's still an okay game. Like, I'm nowhere near finishing it. I know it's a lot shorter game, too, than, like, Yakuza 0 was. I'm just kind of... I'm honestly right now just running around the city doing like side activities because I know like the main story is going to drag probably.
Yeah, I heard that apparently the story starts focusing on some of the side characters after a while.
As well. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to go through it, but that's about it.
Yeah, so is it worth it at $30 or...
If you played Yakuza 0, it is, or like you have a deep appreciation of the Yakuza, you know, franchise, but those people are already going to, you know, they're going to buy it anyway. Like, if you're on the fence, I'd say get Yakuza 0 first, because it's, I think, a much better game.
Well, there you go, people.
Even at a higher price. I think it's $60, but there's $60 worth of content in that game.
Yeah, I think... That's certainly the point there. I think if you're seeing it and you read about it and you go, oh, this is a reboot or sort of a... They just made the game from the ground up using the Yakuza 1 story for PS4. And you go, oh, I want to start from the beginning. Maybe this... You need to start from another game in the franchise.
Well, if you're going to start from the beginning, start with Yakuza 0.
Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, you still get Gojima, right? As far as him showing up randomly, but you don't get to use him.
No, he just fights you and is a dick about it, like all the way through. And there's not, they don't explain that at all or set it up. Like, thank God you play, like, you understand his character in Yakuza 0 because this game does nothing. It's just like, he shows up and you fight him at like a random point. It's like, who is this dude?
Oh, that sucks because Gojima is like one of the like best parts of that series, so. At least you get to see him, but I guess not in the way that you want to.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right. Well, we will move on to talking about what's been going on in the news here. And today they released the Games for Gold for September, since we're about a week away or so. For that happening, you get Forza Motorsport 5 Game of the Year Edition from September 1st to the 30th for Xbox One, and Oxenfree, which is a really good indie game, September 16th to October 15th from Xbox One. It was really close to being on our top 25 games of last year or whatever. And then you get Hydro Thunder Hurricane for Xbox One and 360. Of course, those are free for you to own, even if you drop Xbox Live Gold. I loved Hydro Thunder on the Dreamcast and in the arcade. I don't remember if this one was that good or not.
I think it got, like, okay reviews, but it's not the same, you know?
Yeah. And Battlefield 3, September 16th to the 30th, which...
I'm good.
Yeah. I think that was the one where they started kind of going downhill a little bit. So.
Well, that was like their big like Call of Duty competitor, but
yeah. We're doing this during the day here, so my mom just walked in from work and the dog is going nuts. So I'm sorry if you're hearing that. And my kid decided that she is now, because she's still doing the ballet and stuff after school. They take her to the school where she was at, where she was doing ballet during the summer, and now she's kind of discovering music. So she's been on YouTube, like, playing songs all day after we got home from her eye doctor appointment, which was interesting. But you got yourself an SNES Classic for the second time.
Yeah.
Seems like this one's going to stick.
Yeah, so. I pre-ordered it through a Best Buy when they put up their pre-order, like that one night at 2 a.m. or 2:30. And I told you the link.
Did they make you pay for it like that day, though?
They put a hold in your account, and then, you know, they take it off, you know, a few days.
Okay.
I sent you the link, too, but you were like, I don't want to get it.
Yeah, I will. I don't know. I kind of don't.
I mean, I'm not going to play it. I'm just going to sell that thing the second I get it. So,
see, that's the point. Like, yeah, if I could get Anaya to really play games, whatever, and maybe those are what she needs, it would be a great way to start her with that. But I don't know. I don't want to get it, and then it's kind of sitting around. So, you know, $80 can be spent on other things. But
yeah, but even if it sits around, you can sell it and get more.
that's probably true as well.
Keep the box.
So, you know, Best Buy put them up for sale a few nights ago, then Amazon. And, of course, a bunch of other places like, you know, Walmart, Target, GameStop got slammed. I doubt that there's going to be any out there for you to just walk in and buy, but we'll see. What Nintendo does.
I think it'll be like launch day. Like if you really hunt around, you can probably find one. Depends on the store. I think GameStop might have some, and probably Toys R Us, but that's about it.
Yeah, the Xbox One X is also about to go on pre-order.
Now that already did, but who cares about that?
Well, some people do. I don't, but you know, I know there's people that do. I'm not really. So they had their Xbox, you know, Gamescom conference, and
that was a shit show.
Aside from confirming the Crackdown 3 delay that we already knew about, and I don't even know if we talked about it or not, but I'm not really been that enthused about Crackdown 3 at all. You get a definitive.
I don't think anyone is.
I mean, I guess if you're a big Xbox One person and that's all you have and you remember great stories about Crackdown.
The first Crackdown since the second Crackdown sucked ass.
That's there, but it's not. Looks like Crackdown 3 is not going to fall in that same line. So ReCore is getting a definitive edition, which comes out
next week
for Xbox One.
Go on.
I was just saying it's going to be a launch thing for Xbox One X.
It's also going in their like Xbox games program or whatever their like
the game
library
preview
thing. No, I don't mean that. I mean like the pay $10
Game Pass.
Yeah, it's going in that also.
Well, that tells you all you need to know about the fact that they just kind of like, well, we'll do this, see if anybody buys it. If not, you can just get it with your Game Pass thing. I mean, cool, I guess you get a free, if you have it on Xbox One, you get a free robot that they included in this version.
Yeah, which they left out, and it took them a year to finish for some dumbass reason.
Probably because they didn't have any will to really finish it after.
Yeah, like ReCore didn't set the world on fire, so.
There's also Age of Empires 4. That's coming out. If you don't know what Age of Empires is, it's that 4X franchise that's been around for a long time. One of the stalwarts of Microsoft. I don't really care, but I know there's people that really love Age of Empires, so that's cool.
Yeah, I never got into it. I think it's more battle strategy based than like a typical 4X game, but that's all I know. Like, I have a few of them on Steam, I think, but I never played them.
And the new game that they announced, which will be sort of focused around Xbox One, but of course will come out for, or Xbox One X, but it'll come out for Xbox One as well, Jurassic World Evolution, which is being made by Frontier Studios, same who made Planet Coaster and Elite Dangerous, so there's good track record there. From the trailer I saw, okay, if you like these kind of games and you like Jurassic Park, I guess it's right up your alley. But
I'm cautiously optimistic. Like I actually did like Planet Coaster. I don't like these types of games at all, honestly. Like I can never wrap my mind around them. But Planet Coaster did ease you into it, and it had a pretty good like mission mode. And that's what I'm hoping this one has also.
I mean, they showed a lot of the T-Rex and everything, so you'd expect that he is a rather big focus, and I'm assuming you have other dinosaurs that will be there. The only thing you really got to see as far as the map goes is getting a hospital-type thing built, and yeah. Everything else was sort of focused on the dinosaurs, so we'll find out more as it goes on. And,
yeah, I'll play it. I'll try it at least.
So, you know, I know you have been, both of us were fans of Final Fantasy XV. I know it has its issues and they had to fix a lot of things and they've been adding stuff. And you're a big Assassin's Creed person. This kind of came out today about Final Fantasy XV getting some Assassin's Creed, like a free festival DLC, if you got the Dream Egg from the Moogle Chocobo Carnival, which was also, I think, DLC.
It was free, actually, but it was DLC, but like they released a free version for people.
And then you're also going to be able to use some of the Assassin's Creed powers in Final Fantasy XV, which is, I guess you can be extra stealthy?
I imagine that's just like you get smoke bombs or something.
I mean, it's cool to have that crossover, right? Like, I like that idea.
It's slightly weird, but I'm not opposed to it. Like, you wouldn't think those two franchises would, you know, merge like that. But, hey, why not?
And that wasn't all that Square Enix wanted to say about Final Fantasy XV. They announced the PC version, which is sort of inevitable because all their Final Fantasy games have been going to PC. It's 170 gigabytes for a full install, my lord.
They've walked that back. Like, they've said, like, oh, it's a mistake. But they didn't say, like, how big. You know, they haven't said, like, what the actual size is. So I imagine that that's not going to be far off. Like, they've said, like, that's going to have, like, 8K resolution if your computer can handle it and stuff. So I imagine if you opt for that resolution, it'll probably be that big.
Yeah, I wonder how much it is if you just get the HD.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the largest game that I have is like 40.
I mean, there are games that are bigger. Like GTA 5 right now is like really large. It's like 80, 70 gigabytes maybe.
Yeah. But geez, 170, that's taking a chunk out of your computer there.
Put it this way, I have two hard drives in my laptop. The data drive is 1 terabyte, which is fine. But my Windows like, SSD is only 128 gigabytes.
Oh, geez. How do you feel about the edition you probably wouldn't buy, the Windows edition being the most graphically impressive and not the Steam version or someone?
Oh, what do you mean Steam version? No. What game? Sorry.
Well, he's saying, I was watching, you know, Tabata talk about this, and they were saying that the Windows version is going to be the most graphically intensive.
No, when he says Windows, he means Steam, like it's already on Steam right now.
Ah, okay. I thought he meant Windows as in the Windows 10 version.
No, God, no. It's not even going to be on Windows 10. I don't think any Square games are.
Ah, okay. Well, I think he said that, though. I think he said, Mac, Windows 10, and Steam.
There might have just been, like, a weird translation error there, but, I mean, it's already, you can already pre-buy the game on Steam right now if you want to.
Ah. And then there's this looked kind of cute, and I would hope that maybe this version could perhaps at least show up on the Switch. The Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition, which has chibi versions of all the characters, and of course I'd imagine that it's just text. They don't talk. And it comes out for phone, Android, iOS, and you can play it on PC as well that way. And they're going to release at least 10 episodes, if not more. And the first one's going to be free, which would, I guess, be the first part of the game, because that's what they showed in the trailer there of them by the car in that cutscene. You think this kind of works? Like, you think it could sell on the phone?
Maybe. I guess it depends how much, because Square games are pretty pricey, or they have been in the past. But I'm sure. I mean, why not? I think they actually do talk, though. I think there is voice, but I'm not sure how much.
That seems rather intensive for your phone,
Like,
though.
it's audio file. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just audio. Like, that's probably not that much.
maybe I just I'm at the point where, like, if I try to put anything game wise on my phone, it's probably gonna be like, yep, you're at the max whatever thing. So
Yeah, I've been looking for like a new tablet, and it's not been going that well, but I'm hopeful. Like the one I
yeah.
want isn't being made anymore.
Which one do you want?
There was an Nvidia Shield tablet they made that was like really good for gaming.
I've tried to just find one for my daughter to have again, and they're not that cheap. So,
Yeah.
because I can tell she really misses it, because, like, she doesn't really care. She doesn't like watching anything on my 3DS because the screen is too small.
Yeah.
And it, like, bothers her eyes because the resolution isn't, good enough. But yeah, I don't know. I'd have to probably search the online. It's just I worry about sometimes people like screwing you over, and it's not what you're asking for at that point. But yeah, I mean, I think that's it first. If Square had a lot on the Dissidia NT as well, kind of talking about what that is, how it's more sort of RPG than fighting game. Of course, it carries a lot over from the previous Dissidia games, but
Yeah, like those are pretty RPG focused, like if you really got into it.
it looks fun. I just it was hard to play on the computer, so. Maybe if I got to have a controller in my hand and stuff like that, I'd probably be better at it.
Yeah.
But, playing on an emulator is not
I mean, I
the
played it on
greatest
a
thing.
P on a PSP. It was fine, but okay, that's like trying to do a 3D fighting game on a PSP, not a great idea.
Yeah, probably better for being on Xbox One and PS4, or just PS4, sorry. I mean, there's gonna be like a tons of Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. So if you're a huge Final Fantasy fan, might want to consider buying that. I should also mention that apparently Microsoft is saying that they are once again talking to Sony about crossplay. I feel like I'm not going to get my hopes up at all about that ever.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. At least not until we change cycles.
Not until Sony isn't desperate, and then Microsoft says, "Fuck you."
I don't know. I just feel like I do like that Phil Spencer responded and said, like, I don't know why Sony is saying that safety would be an issue, because why would he put players in an unsafe environment? That kind of seems like a cop out, but
If I was Phil Spencer, I'd go like, "We weren't the ones who got hacked a few years ago. You were," but he's trying to be diplomatic about it.
Right. It's one of those things, like, I think you would have to start from the gate with like a PlayStation 5 and Xbox whatever, saying, okay, these things are going to talk to each other, they're going to cross play whatever. I just don't know that Sony wants to go through the all that right now with them knowing where they are, where they're the leaders and they don't need it, and they'd rather not have the hassle of, well, this guy on Xbox One's talking shit, and I don't want to have to mute my microphone, so how do I, you know, I don't want to have to deal with him. And then Sony just gets a bunch of backlog of people complaining. So
yeah.
The Nintendo, that being said, though, Nintendo actually won the month of July for not only the Switch being the highest selling console, but also Splatoon being the highest selling game. And Splatoon kind of came out at the end of July, so
I mean, it makes sense, though, because not a ton of games came out in July.
Yeah, not a ton of games come out in July, and also, again, it's that attach rate for the Switch. Like, anytime that there comes a big game for the system, people are wanting to buy it. And
yeah.
It's already at 1 million buys, much like ARMS and, of course, the other two big games that have come out for it. So that's no surprise in of itself. But Crash Bandicoot, again, was a high performer for the month at number 2. Grand Theft Auto 5 is still there at number 3. Imagine if digital sales were counted in this stuff. If Grand Theft Auto would be like number 1. Are you surprised that Final Fantasy 12 is there at number 4?
Not really. I mean, people do like that game. Or it has that lineage. And it's the first time it's really been available outside of a PS2. So.
Yeah, I think that's also the case. And that it is really good. And people like anything Final Fantasy. So getting to have that game on your PS4 is a plus.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda still chugging along. Injustice 2, Mario Kart 8, Overwatch, Rainbow Six Siege, and NBA 2K17 round out the list. So, and apparently RPGs have been grown more than 50% year over date. So that's good for RPGs, that they're starting to become more in the forefront of things. As a big fan of RPGs myself, I'm glad people are enjoying them and everything. Just, I'm sure we'll hit that ceiling at some point. Sure. You think that's going to keep, we're going to keep having more of these open world games and they'll just keep getting bigger, or people will?
I think they may hit a limit eventually, but people still like, I mean, when GTA 6 comes out, if it's not the same size or even bigger than 5, people are probably going to riot.
Oh, yeah. Like, they pretty much came out and set that standard now for GTA, so this is also why they only make one, like, every console cycle, because they're that big, and they continue to last. As we've seen, it's still frickin' selling. Speaking of the Switch, they had more stuff to talk about here with that fee game that I talked about during E3 where they didn't say anything about it. Now it's been talked about a lot at Gamescom, and it's coming to Switch, and they're all going to release at the same time. So they're not going to release it on PS4 and Xbox One and then have it come out separately. So I guess that's good for Nintendo. I'm sort of excited about this game. It looks interesting. It's one of those, you know, EA originals, like with Unravel.
Yeah. I mean, it might be good, but EA hasn't had a good track record for those games.
I liked Unravel well enough. It wasn't groundbreaking or anything, but it's a good platformer.
I just remember, like, their $40 Unravel bundle thing they kept trying to sell.
Yeah, $40 was a bit much for that, but you know, EA, they always got to inflate the price on stuff.
Well, they got to make up for Mass Effect.
Yeah, which they've officially confirmed now that nothing is going on with Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anybody would say that at this point.
They say the story will continue in books and comics. It's like, okay.
Do people really read the books and comics a lot? I mean,
that's kind of my thought, but also, like, I guess there's some people who are nuts.
I guess it's like with everything, right? Like, you know, the Warcraft books and all that stuff get read, and...
I mean, the difference with that is, like, Warcraft has a decent story to begin with.
True.
Or it has fans.
Wait, so you never liked the story in Mass Effect?
No, I liked the story in Mass Effect. I didn't like the story in Andromeda.
Ah. Just not in Andromeda. But, I mean, it had a good story for the 1 through 3.
Yeah, but Andromeda is like 600 years later and after the fact.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, the books, you're saying the books are going to continue at the Andromeda story.
They hinted that it's supposed to be like the Andromeda story continues in the books. That's what I meant.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're really big into it, but most people didn't really like it, so, you know.
And I think they also said like multiplayer support will continue. It's like, yeah, for 6 more months or, you know, however long you decide to keep the servers on.
Yeah, until they end it. Just to finish out the Nintendo stuff, they did release a season pass, or they're going to release a season pass for $20 for Mario Plus Rabbids, which I'm excited to get next week.
I looked at that, and then I remembered, oh, right, Ubisoft is making this game, not Nintendo. This makes sense now.
Hey, Ubisoft makes good games. So, I mean, a lot from XCOM, but...
I don't mean that. I mean the season pass. Like, I was like, oh, right.
Well, technically, Nintendo did have a season pass for Zelda. So... You know, and technically they had Mario Kart just happened to come with all of it, but they did for the Wii U have the DLC stuff for Mario Kart. So
yeah,
it's not like it's unprecedented. I'm sure they'll have one if they don't have one already for Splatoon 2.
So, yeah, but remember, like Splatoon 1, that shit just came free.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is coming free, but there's some stuff you pay.
And the stuff with arms, that's like most of that. It's free right now.
Yeah, there's a new clown character. Yeah. Which I guess you're trying to scare your opponents into submission with that. I don't know.
It's Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal.
There is a story pack in there along that will be the last part of DLC, which that's kind of cool. And then there's going to be 8 steampunk weapons that will come launch day if you. Care about that. So, $20 is not that bad for season pass, considering that a lot of season passes are like $50, so...
Yeah.
Shenmue 3 finally has a publisher, and it's Deep Silver, who also published Persona 5 and Yakuza Kiwami.
In Europe. So,
in Europe, yes. That's good. A more infusion of money and people caring to make sure the game gets made. So, yeah.
This made me think, like, when you can't get your game published, bring it to Deep Silver.
not a bad decision for them at that point. Do you think it does it get delayed again, or do you think it makes the?
It's not hitting 2018.
Well, you heard it here first. 2019, Shenmue 3, already. Wait for that delay to happen again. Speaking of Yakuza, Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, being released March 20th, 2018, for $90 in the United States. There's also an After Hours Premium Edition with an art book and bar-inspired paraphernalia with 280 milliliter glasses, ice stones, and Tojo Clan coasters.
So, is it launching at 90, or is it special edition 90?
The way that they worded this is, I'm going to guess that this is the special edition that's 90.
Okay, because I was going to go, like, if the regular game is 90, they're crazy.
I'm surprised that this stuff, which is, like, you know, real coasters and all that stuff is, or not coasters, but like the glasses and all that are only $90, but
Well, I mean, it's just two shot glasses and, you know, coasters. Something not that surprising.
Are you interested in any of that?
I mean, I'll get Yakuza 6 because I'll probably be the one to review it. From either you or Adam.
Hopefully it's really good, though. I mean, assuming with Yakuza Zero being awesome, so.
I've heard it's a lot, like, well, it came out, like, a lot newer, or, you know, it wasn't made newer than Yakuza Kiwami, but, like, it had a lot of refinements and stuff that that series has, you know, been known for. Plus, it's the end of the arc, or end of the franchise, I think.
Oh, really? So they'll, what, just restart it from there, or?
I imagine they'll probably spin it off. Like, I mean, there already have been, like, different Yakuza games in Japan. Like, there was a, I think there's, like, a medieval Yakuza game out there. It's, like, really weird when you think about it.
Yeah. I mean.
Or it's like, the end of Kiryu's arc, I should say. Because, I mean, he's been the main character for all those games.
That makes sense. Yeah, you kind of do need to move on from him. I wonder if they'll start a whole series with Majima, or if they'll just have a new character, period.
Probably a new character.
Either way, as long as they keep making the games great, then they will be be worth buying. Speaking of worth buying, is this BioShock Anniversary Collection worth it? For $200, you get the game, the BioShock Collection, which is three games in and of itself, an 11-inch tall Big Daddy statue that lights up, makes sounds, and that drill that's on the Big Daddy's arm will spin, and it also has a certificate of authenticity, I guess, if you want to sell it at some point. $200, that's a lot.
Yeah, I have a massive BioShock fan friend, and I showed her this, and she's like, I'm not buying that.
What would need to be included for you to splash that $200 on?
Ken Levine would need to show up at my house when we have lunch.
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't typically buy any game for $200. Like, if it was $100, maybe, but like $200 for, you know, a fucking statue and a $30 game at this point. No thanks.
How much did the Pip-Boy thing cost for Fallout?
90?
90? Okay, yeah, that's not bad.
It was either 90 or like 120. One of those two.
I thought it was 120.
And even that was kind of a raw deal when you think about it. Because, yeah, I mean, but, you know, that's not 200.
Yeah.
And that's something you can wear, at least.
Yeah, 200 is a lot. And yeah, at least you can show it off or whatever.
I mean, honestly, I don't feel bad about buying that. I feel bad that, like, Fallout 4 was a disappointing game. Like, I thought the thing they included was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you can have that as a collector's item and be like, well, I got this Pip-Boy, but don't know if you want to play the game.
Yeah.
Brink is free to play, which I remember playing that a long time ago. The team-based shooter from Bethesda, you can play it for free on Steam.
Woo! And, like, no one... Why? no one cared about Brink when it came out. Like, and they're doing this like 6 years later. It's like, okay.
Because they can. I don't know.
It's to drum up support for Brink 2.
I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Brink 2 comes out anyway. But, you know, with the way that they do games now, it's just, if there's any kind of interest in the game at all, they'll, for some reason, decide that they need to make another one.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of, other than the second pack for Injustice 2 coming out, which has Hellboy, which he looked kind of cool, Black Manta, and Raiden from Mortal Kombat. Always happy to see Raiden in a game.
Worked for Unreal Championship too.
I think that was the only reason I got that. I'm like, didn't they have exclusive people on for that? Or
no, that was just Raiden. He was like,
I remember buying that game because Raiden was going to be a character.
That was actually not a bad game either. Like, I joke about that, but it was a good game.
No, it was really good.
It'd be cool if they could somehow make a comeback.
Well, don't they have that, like, in beta version now, or?
No, that's a different Unreal, I think. It's Unreal Tournament.
Oh, okay. And just to round things out with game stuff, Fear Effect, of course, was kickstarted, and now it's coming back and getting a new entry. It's a isometric puzzle game, and they're pretty much sort of remaking Fear Effect, calling it Fear Effect Reinvention. I don't remember playing this at all. So.
Well, I don't. Fear Effect is not a good game. Like it was like, it's anime in game form, kind of, but even barely. Like, and the second one had like a really gross marketing campaign. It's like, girls are kissing. It's like, all right. Is the gameplay still crappy?
Probably.
Yep. That's why they didn't make a third one. I mean.
So how do you, like, I'm sort of interested in this, but it also only pays for one ticket. So if you're going to go with anybody else but yourself, you still have to pay an extra bit of money. But they have dropped MoviePass to $9.95 a month. It used to go up to even like $45 a month at one point. And they've been kind of slowly dropping the price. And then this new company called Helios that has a lot of money bought them and said, look, let's try to make this worth it for people. So, you know, $9.95 is a wonderful price point because if you're one of those that likes to go to movies, even if it's by yourself, after you go see one movie, you basically get into all the other movies free for that month.
Yeah.
The problem is that AMC is not very happy about this at all.
No, they're talking about, like, boycotting it or, like, you know.
They're already, part of it. Actually, I think a couple of days ago, they've already told people, no, you cannot use MoviePass.
Yeah. Big surprise at the company that, or the theater idea that's not going to exist in 30 years isn't going to get it with the times now.
Yeah, I mean, I can see their point, right? Like, if you're, the thing is though, like, movies are not a lot of people go to movies by themselves, right? Movies are still a thing you go to with your kids, with your significant other, to go on dates, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you're still, okay, you're only paying for yourself, okay? So anybody else that you're taking, you're still having to pay the movie price. And AMC is already talking about that they want to raise the price for, like, the summertime when all the blockbusters come because people will pay it because they'll go to the movie theater.
That's why I'm super glad there's a local theater by my house. It's like $5 a ticket.
Yeah, the one by me does accept MoviePass, but they also have like a matinee that's like 7, so it's not that bad.
But I mean, movie theaters are too much, so this is fine. Like, I don't see movies that often to begin with, but
yeah. But I do you think, like, I kind of see it just like the guy that's in charge of MoviePass is in that this just is like the movie theaters having a backlash because this is basically the Netflix of movies that's coming.
Yeah.
And but
movie theaters are fighting tooth and nail against Netflix, you know, Netflix and then like faster DVD releases and stuff like that. So
yeah, they already made it to where Redbox can't get movies for like 2 weeks or whatever after they come out.
Like, I don't know. Redbox, like, is such a weird company now. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
They keep getting new games, so somebody's
not the ones by me. I checked out a Redbox like a week ago. They had 3 games in the fucking thing. And
that's weird because the ones by me have every freaking new game.
it was like one Xbox game, it was Tomb Raider, that was like sold out or like, you know, out, and like three PS4 games, and that was it. Like nothing else.
That's weird. Yeah, it's so different. It's so weird, like, how different they are depending on where you live, too.
Yeah.
Like, for the longest time, it took them forever to come out with the PS4 and Xbox One games here, and then now they just, they stock them full with the new game stuff. Which, yeah, I mean, like, they barred, like, the Netflix DVD thing from having new movies, like, right at the jump, so that DVD sales wouldn't get affected.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
I mean, it's going to be a dying industry eventually. Like, they're trying to fight back, but I don't think it's going to work. It's just going to be, like, iTunes and, like, the record industry.
Yeah, and then MoviePass, like, already said that they wanted to hit a goal of 150,000 subscribers or whatever in like a year, and they hit that after like a couple weeks of going to $9.95.
Yeah, of course. And honestly, like, after the novelty wears off, people aren't going to use it that much.
Yeah, because you're only saving $10. But, I mean, if you're one of those people that goes to the theater a lot...
Yeah.
Then, yeah, this is worth it. If you're one of those that's buying this because you go to the theater like 2-3 times a month, it winds up really not being worth it.
Yeah. Like, if I saw, I'd probably see a movie like once a month and that's it.
Like, I can see people that are like, this can actually supplement like movie reviews. Like, if you're one of those people that like, you have a site and you're trying to get movie reviews and those companies don't talk to you, this is almost worth it if you just go, you're the one person that goes and you can pretty much review a movie every day.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody. So.
No.
But I could see something like this happening in the future where like maybe at $20 a month, you can pay for like a family pass to see movies or whatever. I see this happening like everything else. Everything's going to have a streaming service, and it's going to be up to you what you want to pay.
Yeah.
You know? Mark had to go take care of something, and I'm just going to finish out the show here. I'll leave the little bit of movie stuff that we had until next time, I guess, and just kind of end out the show with talking about new releases and then getting out of here, since it's probably something I can do by myself and not screw it up too much. We have Absolver, the new game from Devolver Digital, coming out next week. The game that I already talked about that I'm pretty excited for, Mario plus Rabbids, is also coming out next week. I'm excited to, you know, I'm not the biggest XCOM guy, but I do like my strategy games here and there. And, of course, having Mario helps. And Ubisoft is usually one of the guys that are very hard to get reviews from. Nintendo we do have a good relationship with, but due to my surgery and kind of some other things that have been going on with me, we kind of have to rebuild our games division. So I'm going to have to buy that one. For sure, you already heard Mark talk about Yakuza Kiwami. That comes out this week as well, this week coming up here. Already out is Madden 2018, and we will have a review of that within the next couple days. So definitely make sure you check us out for that. Go to WTMNet.com for Daniel's thoughts on Madden 2018. And, hey, there's also Sonic Mania hitting PC, so if you've been waiting for Sonic Mania to hit PC, again, I told you I played it on Nintendo Switch. It is great. It's well worth the $20, well worth the last submission. I still haven't locked the co-op mode to play with my daughter, which I'm kind of excited. Hopefully, I get to do soon. And we also have that Warriors All-Stars game that comes out, of course, that pits all of the... it's a Dynasty Warriors game that kind of puts all the various properties of Koei Tecmo and all that together in one game to kind of go up against enemies. Axiom Verge, I think, is coming to the Switch as well. Cult of Revolt from NS America, the card game meets board game for the 3DS, also comes out. So if for some reason you were excited about that, don't know if we may be able to get that one. We have a really, really good relationship with NS America. All right. Until, and again, I, you know, apologize for the times that we don't do this weekly, but we're going to try to be more frequent. We are now part of the Last Word Life section, their branch of Last Word on Sports that is kind of deals with entertainment and video games and everything else. So we're part of that. Of course, WTMNet.com is our official location. You can always check that out for our latest reviews and everything else, you know, wrestling, sports, and some great podcasts by the Rattledge and Broadcasting people that you can also check out here on the WTM Network. And if you like what you hear here, of course, you can hit subscribe and rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to us. Comment on YouTube, comment on 41 Mania. We're also part of them as well. We are they're a great partner for us. And just like to say thank you to you for listening, and we will see you around next week at some point to talk more games, entertainment, and whatever else. See you later, everybody.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.